Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Zechariah chapter 7. 2 weeks ago, as we were studying this, we noted a situation. The people of Israel had come to the Jerusalem from Samaria, and they were asking a question concerning their religious practices. They had observed a feast for their period of time in Babylonian captivity that commemorated the destruction of the temple. They were weeping over that, and they were remembering their sin, and they were seeing the justice of God in bringing them into captivity. But now they're back in the land. The temple was being rebuilt, and they said, you know what, this just doesn't really seem right that we should be having a fast time because of the destruction when we're getting a brand new temple here. Do we really need to carry on with this practice of fasting? And they came looking for an answer. And we dealt with the answer 2 weeks ago. I want you, though, to look at something that wasn't written in the answer to the question of 2 weeks ago. Now, you're going to say, well, how can I look at something that wasn't written? Well, it's as plain as day. They come, they ask a question, and the Lord did not say, that's a stupid question. Why are you bothering me with such mundane things? Someone has said there is not such a thing as a stupid question. They are wrong. There are stupid questions. But the characteristics of a smart question or a stupid question does not differ on the amount of factual information or intellectual expertise in them. A stupid question, no matter how intelligent it may be, comes from a heart of unbelief. A good question or a smart question, no matter how simple it may be, comes from a heart that desires to know God. And here I believe these people were coming with a sincere desire to be pleasing unto God. Now, the outcome of their sincere desire was, okay, if we are going to be obedient to God, He's promised blessings. We're looking forward to blessings. And certainly there's nothing necessarily wrong with that if your first and primary motivation is to be pleasing to God whether He blesses or not. That was, I think, the thing behind it. And the Lord gave this answer to their question. Rather than, do you want to continue on this outward observance of something that I never commanded you, verse 7, should you not hear the words which the Lord had cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity and the cities thereof round about her when men inhabited the south and the plain? Rather than saying, okay, look, we've suffered judgment and we're having this fast because of our disobedience, wouldn't it be better to go back to when times were good and be obedient to what God spoke then? That's the answer to the question. And that's where we pick up with our study tonight. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah. Now, the word of the Lord that came unto him was not a new revelation. If I could paraphrase or amplify or put my own addition into the text, and what God had previously said, God reminded Zechariah of. That's, in essence, what verse 8 is telling us. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion to every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. That's what God was telling the people when they were living in prosperity, when the nation of Israel was the most feared nation in the world, when they had a reputation that people looked up to them and said, man, if we could only be like Israel. And God was blessing in abundance. But now they started to move away from their obedience. And God is saying to them, look, guys, this isn't going to last forever. If you keep moving away, the blessings are going to come to an end. You're not doing what I want you to do. judgment's coming. Return and do that which is right, and I'll continue to bless. What happened? Verse 11. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Notice the digression there of what happened with these people. First of all, they refused to hearken. Now, most of you didn't see what happened there. Glenn was looking down at his Bible. Was not paying, not that he wasn't paying any attention to me, but he was looking at the Word of God, which I appreciate. And there was just this still, small voice. Glenn. Right away he looked up. He hearkened unto my Word. I was looking around. I was seeing who I could, but Glenn was the only one with his head down. I was sure he wasn't asleep. So that's step number one. They hearkened not. They were not sensitive to the call of God. Secondly, they pulled away the shoulder. The idea of pulling away the shoulder, if you're listening intently to somebody, listening real close, you pull the shoulder away. You're not listening carefully anymore. Thirdly, they stopped their ears that they should not hear. Now, how did they stop their ears? Could be like that. You put something other than the word that you want to hear in your ears. Now, it could be your fingers so that you can't hear. It could be somebody else speaking. I want to tell you how I really got this. I was up in my office just the other day, studying, being so spiritual. The fan was on behind me. We have air conditioning in our house, but it doesn't quite get up to the second floor the way it should, so I put the fan in front of the air vent, and it pulls the cool air out of there, and with my computer running, I need to keep that room as cool as possible. So I put the fan on, which makes a noise. I also have music on my computer that when I'm up there, I'm always listening to music as I'm studying or doing whatever I'm doing, so I had the music on. And these two things are filling my ears. My wife is down there. Sweetie. Honey. Palsy. Schnookums. And I didn't respond. And then she came up and smacked me one. That's how I got this. No, that's not true. Do you know why I didn't hear? There were too many other things that were noisier than she was. I'm giving you this great opportunity because you could belt me one right now and no one would ever know. They stopped their ears. They put something else into the actual eardrums that drowned out the Word of God. Fourthly, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, becoming insensitive that they would not hearken, pulled away the shoulder, stopped their ears, and determined in their heart, I do not want any part of this whatsoever. Just a downward slope they followed. And the Lord says in the end of verse 12, that's why this wrath came upon them. Verse 13. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. For literally hundreds of years, God was crying out to a nation, guys, you're getting off the path. It's not like it used to be. And they wouldn't hearken. and they went a little bit farther into sin. Yo, guys, spoke with a louder voice. And they pulled away the shoulder. And he spoke with a louder voice more frequently, and they stopped their ears. Until finally, in 606 BC, they said, "We've had enough. We won't even listen at all anymore." And then came the Babylonians. They cried. The Lord cried unto them over and over and over, and they would not hear. What happened? The Babylonians came, took them away, and they, "Oh, God! Can't hear you. You wouldn't hearken to me. You pulled your shoulder away from me. You stopped your ears. You made your heart as adamant as stone. Why do you expect that I'm just going to, oh, it's okay?" God exercised some poetic justice. And he said, "I wouldn't listen to you." Verse 14, "But I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for I laid the pleasant land desolate." Did God do the judging? Yes, he did. But who was the cause of the land being desolate? They were. God wanted all that kind to bring prosperity to the land, to bring blessing, to bring honor and prestige and all the good things that he wanted to be, but they would not hearken. They pulled away the shoulder, stopped their ears, and made their hearts of stone. God said, "Okay, you will suffer the fruits of your labor." Zechariah is saying to the people, if you really want blessing, if you want to avoid the judgment of God, because that was their question, if we would get rid of this fasting, would God be angry with us and bring judgment again? And the answer to the question is, don't do what the former people did that brought judgment. Listen to the word of God, be obedient to his commands, and everything will be fine. But let's work this in reverse. Not only do you want to avoid judgment, but you want prosperity in your lives. God promised it. How are you going to get it? Work this thing in reverse. What is the condition of your heart concerning the Word of God? Jeremiah and Hosea both said concerning the Word of God, "Break up the fallow ground of your heart." Lord Jesus spoke of the Word in Matthew chapter 13 when he talked about the kingdom of God and how it's like a sower going forth and he's spreading his seeds and some falls upon hard ground and the birds of the air come along and snatch it before it ever has a chance to take root because the ground's so hard it just can't penetrate it. And he likens that ground to a heart. And he said there are some hearts that are just so hard that the Word never, never penetrates, never brings forth any fruit, and gets taken away. Break up the fallow ground. What's your heart's condition toward this? Well, God owes me this. Really? Secondly, working it backwards, if the heart's not stony, then what's filling your ears? What are you listening to? Are your ears divided? I go to church on Sunday and I hear the Word of God and okay, that's good. And then I turn around and I turn on the TV and I hear something contrary or something of a different nature. And what is truth? Well, there's a little bit of truth in the pastor, and there's a little bit of truth in the Sunday school teacher, and there's a little bit of truth in the news anchor man, and there's a little bit of truth in the newspaper. And I'll just take a bit here and a bit here and a bit there. Where can you find absolute truth?
Word of God.
That becomes the critique. By the way, the Word of God is living and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder the soul and the spirit, and is the discerner, literally the critic, of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And when we have contradictory things going in there, we get all messed up. The heart, Lord, I want Your Word. I will fill my ears with Your Word. I will lean close to hear. Listen, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study? You got to be kidding. That takes a lot of work. That's the pastor. Wait a minute, that's me. That's my wife's job. Study. Man, I really got to listen. Now, I got to lean. I was going to say put my nose to the grindstone, but I don't want to do that. And then hearken. So that when God speaks in a still, small voice, you go, what? And when that happens, guess what God is going to do? He's going to hear, He's going to see, and He's going to bless because of your response to the Word of God. I titled this thing tonight, Turnabout is Fair Play. When it came to judgment, they wouldn't hear. God says, I won't hear. But when you listen, God listens. And the result is great. Let's pray. Father, tonight, thank You for the book that we have in front of us, which is the Word of God. Thank You that it's not the word of men, even intelligent men, even wise men, but it's the word of an infallible God who cannot lie. It is truth. And Lord, help us tonight to know truth, to listen closely and carefully and intently, so that when there's even a whisper, we might respond to You. And in so doing, reap the blessings of obedience in the prosperity of God, whether it be in the physical realm or the spiritual realm, makes no difference. We just want to be faithful tonight. Lord, help us to that end, and then use us for Your honor and glory to be proclaimers of the Word of God to a world that needs to hear. Because judgment will come again. Lord, we'd like to say with John, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we will say that tonight, for we know that knowing the Lord Jesus has delivered us from the wrath to come. But we know there are those who are loved ones, those who are friends, neighbors, work associates, people we know from the store or school or whatever the case may be, that if the trumpet was to sound tonight, they'd be left behind. Lord, we pray for the week ahead of us that we might have opportunity to claim Your truth to them, that they might know and hearken, turn the shoulder, break up the fallow ground of their heart, become obedient unto the gospel, and have eternal life. Lord, bring us back at the appointed time that we might again rejoice in Your goodness, praise You for all that You are, and come to know You even in a greater way. We'll thank You for all that You do as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.